Several weeks ago, we started a new sermon series, Embracing. Embracing these ideals of our Christian duties and ministry. We started embracing our faith, embracing our hope, embracing life last week, and today we will be embracing grace. If you would first start with me in the letters of Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. The letter of Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23, embracing grace. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then if you would also join me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I am so close to having my voice fully back, so please just forgive me. Embracing grace. Oh, we talk about grace a lot in the church. We think we kind of understand it. And yet, when it comes to putting into practice, we kind of forget. We like grace. We know we want to receive grace. But we're not always the best at sharing it. Embracing grace. That means embracing the imperfection. That means embracing the messy life. That doesn't mean we praise the mess, that we are excited about the mistakes, the errors, the sins. But it means that we love past it. Because God loves past ours. Have you ever experience the mercy or grace of Jesus? Think about it. Knowing you did wrong, and if you had to face the consequences of that wrongdoing, could be detrimental, could be life-changing. Think of even just the little laws that you might have kind of hinted over. Speeding a little extra, running a stop sign. Those could have horrible consequences. Maybe fudging the numbers in your tax return. Maybe taking an extra write-off because you're not sure where it fell. You can go to jail for that. There are these little things that we don't think too much of. And yet, had we had to face the consequence of every wrongdoing, we wouldn't have the life we have. I just want you to sit there just a moment. It might have made you a little uncomfortable. And you know what God does with our transgressions? Do you know what God does? He doesn't have Peter at the pearly gates with your list. All right, they're going to have to atone for every single one of these mistakes. And that, whew, they've got 10 scrolls on them. Jesus wipes it clean. And here Paul in this letter of Romans, because I know some of you are very uncomfortable with that. Oh, so-and-so, they've done a lot of wrong. Paul goes, does that mean we go on sinning? Not purposely. We're not like challenging this grace. I see your grace, God, and I'm going to raise you 10 sins. That's not. But grace takes and gives us hope. Because if we had to keep living under the law, well, what's the point? You're going to make a mistake on day one. And if we had to be perfect, you've already failed at perfection. But when we are given grace, okay, let go of the sin and move forward. Let God take and clean the slate and try to do better. It's a chance to have a do-over. It's a chance to start anew. It's a chance to do better. That is the gift of grace. So what does grace mean? It means lots of things. And there's lots of ways we show it and share it. Because there's not just a one-proof plan. There's not just one way to offer this grace. So I'm going to give you a couple acronyms to help you. Godly relationship and Christ's example. You are more likely to share grace if you are building this godly relationship, not only with God, but then taking that relationship and offering it to each other. Offering that room of love, offering that opportunity to help each other, offering the example of Christ. And what does the Matthew gospel tell us? Welcome the prophet. If someone is preaching Jesus, sharing the word, sharing what is going on, helping us to have perspective and to see, let us welcome their words. Let us welcome their message. Let us welcome those who are trying to do the work of the Lord. And if a righteous man, a righteous person, a righteous woman is coming through, help them to do the good, to do the right, that they see injustice and they need our help to make things right. That's welcoming them. And there's going to be those who are needy. There are going to be those who need a cup of cold water. We don't need to quiz them what they're going to do if I feed them this meal or if I give them an extra jug of water. God says, just give them. Give the water to those in need. Take care of the little ones who can't take care of themselves. Take care of the vulnerable adults who cannot take care of themselves. Several times throughout scriptures, from Old Testament to New Testament, take care of the orphans and the widows. Take care of those who need it. And obviously, if we are taking care of those who don't have much resources, taking care of those who are in need, they don't have a lot to give back in reward. But Jesus is saying here, you will be rewarded. No one will steal from you because you are giving in my name. You are taking care of others in my name. You are bestowing grace when the world might be trying to kick them down. You are going to meet people on their worst day. And a kind word, a gift that cannot be repaid, a resource they need in that moment, is being the hands and feet of Jesus. That is offering grace where grace is most needed. Because you too will have a worse day. And if you are like 99% of the people, you will beat yourself up more than anything the world could do to you. And you really don't need someone to remind you you did wrong, or you did bad, or you could have avoided this situation by making a different decision the day before, a week before, a month before, a year before. This is where you are today. And we can't correct those actions, but we sure can offer grace in that moment. We can for sure give the love of Jesus right then and there. And if we're in that hardship, don't we too want grace in that moment? Because we want grace, we want mercy, we want to avoid the consequences if possible. And yet sometimes we forget to pass it on. There's two examples I want to give to you. The first one, the unmerciful servant, Matthew 18, starts about verse 21, goes to through 35. You've probably heard the story. This is the one where the king has a servant who owes him 10,000 bags of gold. Owes the king over 10,000 bags of gold, according to the New International Version. I know that sometimes that number can change in different ways in descriptions. But for our mindset, 10,000 bags of gold. And the servant couldn't pay it. And gets down on his knees because the king is like starting to order up, I guess, bring his wife, bring the kids, let's bring all the animals they have. Let's try to make this as close as we can, comparable, lower the debt. What would you do in that instant? Probably be like the servant and throw yourself at the mercy of the king's feet. I am so sorry, I cannot repay you at this time. Please don't take my loved ones. And the king has a moment. He's rightfully owed this. But he grants mercy. He offers grace. Offers the gift, you are forgiven. Gone. That 10,000 bags of gold today, we make it right and we make the slate zero. Wow. If you've ever been in credit card debt, student loan debt, mortgage debt, car debt. And the bank came to you and said, today is your lucky day. Done. It might have been you couldn't pay the electric bill that month. Things just got too high. It might have been you didn't have enough to get groceries. And groceries show up on your doorstep. The electric company said, others have paid above the bill. Yours will be forgiven today. A moment of reprieve, a moment that you have been dreading. You might have been holding on to that bill for 2 weeks praying, I don't know how we'll pay for this. They will cut off our, I don't know what we're gonna do. And just stumped. And here comes this gift of grace. Maybe there was something you've been meaning to do, a repair on your house over and over and over, and you were overwhelmed, didn't know how to do it. And a friend noticed it one day and just came and said, I'll take care of it. Maybe it was your lawn and they mowed it. Maybe they came with the paint that you have said, I have meant to pick this up for 2 years. I know, let's paint it today. A gift of grace, a gift of giving, reprieved. Ugh, anybody feel grateful? Anyone feel that warm, cozy? Oh, I feel loved. You know what that servant did? What he took that warm, cozy love to do? He turned around to the person who owed him 500 pieces of silver and throttled him, shook him up and down. You will pay me the 500 pieces of silver you owe me. I demand your debt now. Beats this person. 500 pieces of silver. And he was just forgiven 10,000 bags of gold. On paper, we think he should maybe be grateful, maybe pay it forward. But instead, he goes and demands it. And the other servants see this, and they don't like it, and they go back to the king. How would you feel as that king? I have gifted you. And the first thing you go and do is demand payment from someone else? It's like you took my grace and threw it away. How is that showing gratitude? How is that showing kindness? Have you ever been the unmerciful servant? I was really trying to think of places where I am. And I'm gonna bring you to the car with me. Getting on an exit, oh, I beg for someone just to be kind and just let me in. Instead of playing the hedge game, like I'll go an inch, will you let me have two? And when that person just like lets you in, and I am like the most grateful, like I am Miss America in the car, they can't see it, but I'm like, thank you, I'm so grateful. Oh, I thought it would take me 10 hours to get through this exit, right? Like it's all this panic. And then I'm just driving along like, whew, I feel lucky today, I am blessed. Oh, that person snuck 10 past cars and they're coming on the emergency lane. And I can feel my car slightly going to the right, like not today. No, 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 you don't get to come in. Not for you. I'm being the unmerciful servant. I was granted grace and the first thing I want to do is like, no, 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 no. Not for you. You're not worthy of my grace. Oh, see, that's the problem with grace. We turn it into something of merit. And that's the exact thing God is saying don't do. I give it to you free and abundantly because I know you're going to make mistakes. My hope is you will turn around and do that for your neighbor. So if you're going to practice grace, I encourage you to start in a place of gratitude. It's a lot easier when you are thankful to share. And if you need a reminder of that, that goes back to Exodus 16. Oh, they were so grateful when Moses took them out of Egypt away from those slave owners. Oh, but then it started to get a little too much walking, felt a little lost. I wish we were back at where we were slaves. They at least fed us. Grumbling, griping, no one showing grace for each other. But when we start in that place of thankfulness, how can I help someone else feel this, knowing it came from God? So let us have gratitude. Let us have respect and recognition of those around us, so that we can see their plight, to be in the real world, and the world's doing everything it can to take us out of reality. And a part of that is the technology. To even just have a conversation. Corey and I were talking earlier this week, and he was telling me about a story, and we were talking about a couple cities nearby. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have continued listening to his story, but I had to know the answer. I had to know how far these cities were from each other that would change the story. So I'm like, I just got to know this. And I pull out my phone because my phone can tell me within a couple seconds. 15 years ago, it wouldn't have done that. 15 years ago, I was fine to not know that detail so that I could fully listen, be fully present for this person. Because we have information at our fingertips, we are in and out of discussions. We are in and out of reality. We are in and out of the moment, and we will lose holiness because we are more dependent on being right. Perhaps you've seen the email story. It's been around many, many years and several times, but there was a teacher writing on the board and started with 9 times 1 equals 7. 9 times 2 equals 18. 9 times 3 equals 27. 9 times 4 equals 36. 9 times 5 equals 45. 9 times 6 equals 54. 9 times 7 equals 63. 9 times 8 is 72. 9 times 8 is still 72. 9 times 9 is 81. 9 times 10 equals 90. How many of you caught the very first thing I wrote was wrong? Right? And you know students in the classroom caught that, right? The laughing started immediately as soon as he wrote the 9 times 1 equals 7, because the students live to tell the teacher they're wrong, right? Oh, teacher, 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 you were wrong. And the teacher's like, I know you would catch that. I wrote 9 other facts correct. But you all were so excited about the one that was wrong. The world will be like that, waiting for you to mess up, waiting to call you out. But please remember, it is important to encourage each other, to give each other the grace. No, we don't need to continue teaching others that 9 times 1 is 7. But the eagerness, the giddiness to tell someone they're wrong, well, that's not necessary. Let us have that recognition and respect. Of course, if someone is in a line of sin, sin is always going to lead to death. Sin is always going to lead to pain. Sin is always going to have a consequence. And sometimes that consequence is going to spill past you. But there's also a way to do it with respect and love, and then just telling someone they're wrong. This is that moment of grace and mercy. No, don't go down that path that's going to lead to pain and torture. But also, if you do sin, I still love you. I'm still going to embrace you with grace because God has embraced me with grace. So let us start with a season of gratitude, a place of gratefulness will help us be gracious. R is the recognition. It is the being real in the moment. A is the attending, right? If we see a brother or sister hurting, how can we attend to them? It might be just sitting down. It might just be listening. It might be like, hey, I don't know if you saw that big road sign of trouble, but maybe you want to pause, maybe you want to stop, maybe we just talk it through. This is your action, this is your attendance. Attending to their needs. C, please do it with compassion. I don't know how you extend grace without compassion. Clothe yourself in kindness, humility, compassion for one another. And E, there is an effect. You have an effect on those around you. Are you going to be the unmerciful servant that you receive but you forget to give? Are you going to be like the whiny and the grumbling, like, hey, thanks for saving us. You could have done better. Or are you going to be like Jesus and follow Jesus' advice? Please give a cup of cold water to those in need, and a reward will be built up for you. Because see, the gift of grace leads us to salvation, and salvation is love. That God doesn't need me to be perfect every day to accept God's love. That's amazing. That grace is extended to me on my worst day. And so is mercy from God. That's pretty amazing. And so I say salvation is love because God wants to live with me forever. My completely messy imperfectness, God still sees something pretty special in me. That God still sees a treasure. And how God hopes that I can use it for good. How will you share grace? How will you teach others? How will you offer and extend it? Mercy can bring faith, because mercy can change your whole life story in an event, in a moment. And grace, well, grace offers hope that even if you mess up, you still have a chance at paradise forever. That you have a relationship still intact with God. I can't think of a more hopeful story. And salvation is love. I think you're so special, I want forever with you. That is your love note from God. That Jesus stood up and embraced the cross, embraced all of our wrong, all of our sin, so that we can all embrace grace together. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we are about to have the holy feast of communion with you. And God, let us be reminded that we can have a holy moment any day of the week, any moment of the hour, that you welcome us in our imperfections, you welcome us in our best, you welcome us. You encourage us and hope that we will extend that hand, whether it's offering a cold cup of water, whether it is welcoming someone to speak on your behalf, whether it is allowing someone the dignity and respect of being human, even if the world has tossed and kicked us aside, that you still see us as a treasure. God, what a holy gift. Help us to embrace grace and one another. In your precious and holy name, amen.